chapter 18. Verse 1. Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. Well, there's going to be problems in life, is there not? Have you encountered any problems? The solution to your problems tonight is that you get on your hands and knees and you pour your heart out to God in prayer. If a man does not pray, who is he trusting in? You're trusting in yourself. I just want to tell you something. The flesh is weak. Very, very weak. And very frail. You're not going to overcome the forces of evil that fight against the church without prayer to the God of heaven. And really, where is the battle tonight? The battle is within the church. Satan is fighting the church. He has the world. The battle is in the church. You and I have the Spirit of the living God. And that's where the battle is. It's in each and every one of us. And if you're not willing to get onto your hands and knees and pour your heart out to God, the devil is going to soundly defeat you. Do you love to pray? I don't mean like it, love it. How much do you pray? That'll tell you how much you love it. Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? He's our Heavenly Father. I read all of the promises in the Bible. God cannot lie. The promises are overwhelming to the man that will pour his heart out to God in prayer, believing and trusting in the Creator of the universe. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. And that's where men get mixed up. They want to lean on themselves, on their own understanding, and not on the righteousness and the holiness of God. Verse 2 says, as we continue on, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. How'd you like to have him as your judge? He's just in it for the money. And there was a widow in that city. Now, how much power and sway do you think the widow had against the judge? None. And she kept coming to him and saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. And for a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God, nor respect man, had no respect for man, no fear of God. Yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection, lest by continually coming, she wear me out. Well, the judge just said, I don't want this lady wearing me out. I'm just going to give her legal protection. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now shall not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night, and will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Does the Lord delight in our prayers? Is it a sweet incense that goes up to the God of heaven? Absolutely. Is the world in trouble tonight? Oh, it's a mess. Jesus says, will there even be faith on the earth when I come? You know what it sounds like to me? There's not going to be very many people praying, not very many faithful, and even those that are faithful are going to apostate. Are we seeing that across the brotherhood? What I'm seeing is making me sick. I hate what I see. I go to camps and I see filth wanting just to so slightly come in. I can't even enjoy the camp once I see that. I mean, it sickens me. Somebody is not praying genuinely to the God of heaven. The book of Psalms, I forgot where it was, but you know that the Bible teaches that men are even deceitful in their prayers. Can men be deceitful in prayer? Oh, you better believe they can. I've seen men on their hands and knees praying to the God of heaven while all the time they were trying to tear up the church. I said, you hypocrites. Well, they are. Praying to God and trying to tear up the church at the same time. My Bible tells me, you try and tear up His church, He's going to destroy you. And so we need men that are genuine in prayer. Everybody got your Bible? Turn to Psalm 66. This is the key to your prayer life. Psalm 66. And verse 16 says, come and hear, all who fear God, and I will tell you of what He has done for my soul. I cried to Him with my mouth, and He was extolled with my tongue. If I regard wickedness, if I regard iniquity, if I regard sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear. How hard is that to understand tonight? Any of you have a hard time understanding that passage? That's pretty simple, isn't it? But certainly God has heard. He has given heed to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God who has not turned away my prayer, nor His loving kindness from me. God will not turn away from the prayer of a righteous man. That's the key. You regard wickedness in your heart, God is not going to hear your prayer. Is it a request from God that we pray, or is it a command, something to be obeyed? Y'all agree it's a command? Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Well, everybody knows this passage. Probably haven't memorized. This is a command. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. Do you believe that? Do you pray? Tell us whether or not you believe it, doesn't it? For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it shall be opened. What a promise. I remember before my conversion, down on my hands and knees, pouring my heart out to God. Oh God, help me, sinner that I am. Oh God, help me to find truth. Can we find it on our own? Like trying to find a needle in a haystack, and the haystack is as big as this world. Oh, before I forget it, Carlo, I really appreciate you playing that. What do you call that thing? Man, yes, that bagpipe. I just love bagpipes. You people like bagpipes? I heard him Monday evening playing his bagpipe, Amazing Grace, and it just kind of flowed through the air out there, and it just mellows the soul, doesn't it? You know how long he's been playing that? 5 months. One of the hardest instruments to learn how to play. Thanks a lot, Kylo. You keep playing, will you? Play Amazing Grace for us again tomorrow. That's one of my favorite songs. I like that. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved what? A wretch like me. All a bunch of wretches, that's what we are. Jesus said, my house is to be a house of prayer. They had made it a robber's den, a house of merchandise. That was the temple, the physical temple where God dwelt. How much more so should the Lord's church be a house of prayer? Are we not the household of God? And then I'm hearing churches disbanding fellowship on Sunday night and on Wednesday night so they can have their cell group meetings. That's opposite of the scriptures of coming together when you meet as a church. I hope there's nobody in here doing it. If you are, repent of it tonight. Well, do you agree or disagree? Well, it's right. Cut those cell meetings out and you bring the body together. It's difficult to keep the body together, let alone trying to split the thing. I like the body coming together, don't you? I love it. I love to go to church. Besides that, I was talking to Van about it. Leadership is responsible to teach the church, and when you disband like that, you have somebody else just, you know, whoever might be in there teaching. Next thing you know, you've got a lot of division within the body of Christ. Is it natural or is it unnatural to pray? It's unnatural. If you do not pray, you are doing that which comes naturally. Did the apostles have to be taught to pray? They asked Jesus, teach us to pray. Did you have to be taught to pray? Or were you just praying all the time before you became a Christian? I wasn't. I had to be taught to pray, and I learned to pray in the Church of Christ. When I started Bible college, we were responsible to put down on a piece of paper how much we prayed every day and how much we studied. And I believe it was to be, you know, there was about a 30-minute time frame, as I remember, in there. Is that right? 30 minutes, okay. You know what that's done for me? Created a habit of praying every day. Is that a good habit to get in to? You people all brush your teeth? Brush your teeth? Take a bath? Take a shower? Put your clothes on? Good habit to get into, isn't it? How much more so to pray to your Father who is in heaven, who has the power to deliver you from all of the forces of evil down here? Will He deliver you tonight? Sure He will. If you'll just pour your heart out to God in prayer. Well, God speaks on our prayer life. The Bible has a lot to say about prayer. And so that's what we're going to consider. Why does God speak on our prayer life? If you'll turn your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 5, and verse 16, says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. I want to tell you, when you confess your sins to somebody, my Bible tells me that in Galatians that it's to be, you better have spiritual men that does that. And if you're going to confess somebody, you better have somebody that can help you out. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. If you want to accomplish the work of God, you know what you must do? You must pray. It's the effective prayer of what kind of a man? A righteous man. If you regard iniquity in your heart, God is not going to hear you. So if you wonder, well, I just don't feel like God's very close to me. Well, the Bible says draw near to God and He will what? Draw near to you. You might want to take a look at your heart and see if you got the right attitude in your heart. Because iniquity tries to get into our heart. Verse 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And what kind of a nature is that? It's weak. It's frail. It's sinful. Same nature as ours. Was Elijah just like us in the flesh, weak and frail? Did God hear his prayer? Will God hear your prayers? Sure He is. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit.
Wouldn't that be something? To pray to God, no rain, God. Was Ahab just a little upset with his prayer? Oh, Ahab been looking for him. Well, God provided for Elijah during this time. And when Ahab finally found him, he said, "There you are, you troubler of Israel." And Elijah says, "No, Ahab, I'm not the troubler of Israel. You are the troubler of Israel, for you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and you are worshiping or yielding to Baal, seeking the Baal." And so they had a little contest. He said, "Why do you hesitate between two opinions? If God is God, serve him." Well, you think that's the right idea? Is God God? The God that we pray to, did he create the heavens and the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, and all that is in it in 6 days? Literally, 6 24-hour days, God just spoke it into existence. And you're going to tell me you are not going to pray to the God of heaven that's going to resurrect your dead body and bring it out of the ground at his mere command? Does he have the power and the authority to bring your body out of the ground? He's going to do it. That day is coming. There's an hour coming in which all who are in the tombs, what are they going to hear? His voice. That's it. You can hear his voice. We're coming forward. I look forward to that day. What a day that is going to be. And so they had a little contest. You remember the contest they had? Going to call some fire down out of heaven? And those old prophets of Baal, boy, they called out and cried out and cut themselves. And boy, what a party. And Elijah, he just prayed to the God of heaven, "Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, hear me this day, O Lord, hear me." And what fell? The fire of the Lord, and it consumed that altar, and it even licked up that water that he had poured over the altar. And what did all the people do? They fell down on their faces and they cried out, "The Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God." Did Elijah, through his prayer, cause the multitudes to call out to God? Will the effective prayer of a righteous man accomplish much? That's why God wants you to pray. For apart from it, you're not going to accomplish anything for God. Hezekiah and Isaiah, were they godly men? Were they righteous men? Assyria has surrounded Jerusalem. How would you like to have the enemy surround you tonight? You're in the church building and they're going to burn this building to the ground with you in it. They've barred every door. And they're mocking God. And they're saying, "Don't listen to Hezekiah. He can't deliver you. God told us to come down here and destroy this place. If you'll just listen to us, we'll spare you. We'll give you the best of the land. You'll really live a wonderful life." Those are a bunch of liars, too. They'd have killed every one of them. Turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles, chapter 32. And how is the battle going to be fought and won by Hezekiah and by Isaiah, two godly men? How are we going to win the battle today? How are we going to fight it? You're going to fight it on your knees or you're going to lose it. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 20. "But King Hezekiah and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, prayed about this and cried out to heaven."
That's how they won the battle. Could they have defeated in the flesh the Assyrian army? Couldn't do it. And the Lord sent an angel who destroyed every mighty warrior, commander, and officer in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned in shame to his own land, and when he had entered the temple of his God, some of his own children killed him there with the sword. So the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, from the hand of all others, and guided them on every side. And many were bringing gifts to the Lord at Jerusalem and choice presents to Hezekiah, king of Judah, so that he was exalted in the sight of all nations thereafter. Did that cause people to fear God? How'd they win the battle? They cried out to the Lord. Tonight, can you say that you've been crying out to God? Listen, if you're not, you're missing one of the greatest blessings on the face of this earth. And I am dead serious. God wants you to pray. He wants you to pour your heart out to Him. Your prayer goes up to Him, even as an unsaved person. I mean, Cornelius's prayer went up as a memorial. God remembered his prayer, and did God save him? I can vouch for that. I wasn't a Christian, and I prayed to God, and I was serious. Did God send some deliverers? Well, sure he did. He doesn't stop at conversion. Are we in a battle tonight? How are you going to fight it? You put on what? The full armor of God so that you can stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Listen, when trouble comes, it's not an accident. You know, people just think everything's just, well, just trouble, you know. I just want to tell you, the devil sends that stuff. I don't think he doesn't. He's out to destroy your soul. You'll notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we're not fighting a fleshly physical battle. If you are, stop and fight the spiritual battle. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." Well, Paul's in the flesh, but his weapons are spiritual. "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses." So are we in a warfare? If you are in military warfare, physical battle, the enemy is approaching you, are you going to take up your armament, or are you going to try and fight him in the flesh while the bullets hit your flesh? You know what bullets do to the flesh? They tear it up, tear it to pieces. And you're not going to overpower it. That's the only way you're going to win this battle. You're not going to do it in the flesh. Verse 5 says, "We are destroying speculations and every lofty or high thing raised up against the knowledge of God." And I want to tell you, every kind of an ungodly thing tries to come into the Lord's church. I marvel what tries to get in. Preachers are constantly trying to get it out. But you know what they're doing too? They're praying when nobody else knows it. So we're destroying that speculation, every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You got your weapons on? Are you praying to God with a genuine heart? You see, the effective prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. Do you believe that tonight? If you're here and you have not been praying, you need to repent tonight. You need to make a decision that you're going to start praying every day without fail. And I'm serious. This is no game we're playing. Jerry Smith, if you don't understand heaven and hell and eternity, you're deaf. Did he talk about heaven and hell? Do you believe in a lake of fire? Have you ever put yourself in it? I've looked in campfires before.
said, God, I don't want to go into that. My little boy up there in Ogallala fell. He's about 2 years old. He fell into the hot coals. I don't remember how, it's been 2 or 3 years ago, but it burned him pretty bad. You want to fall into hot coals? No, thank you. Friend, if you don't get on your hands and knees and pray, you're probably going to go there. Satan is going to overpower you. You're no force against him. He is the prince of the power of the air that works in the sons of disobedience. He is the god of this world. He is a fallen angel. He is clever. He is cunning. How he ever got those angels in heaven to follow him is beyond my ability to even comprehend. But I look down here on this earth and I see highly intelligent people that have some of the stupidest, idiotic ideas about worship to God. It is just unbelievable how they can fall for it. That's how I can understand it. God wants you to pray. Now, we do understand there's more to the Christian life than praying. But the subject tonight is on prayer. And so, when we finish, I hope you understand you need to pray. Hello. So far, have you got the idea you need to pray? Good. Well, go on. Well, how are we to pray then? Thy will be done. Your will is to be His will, not your will. You become a Christian, you deny self. And if you want to be a man of prayer, you must deny yourself. Because the world is going to try to crowd out your prayer life. There's going to be the worries of the world, the pleasures of life, and the deceitfulness of riches are going to try to choke your prayer life. And people are stupid enough to let the worries of the world, and are there a lot of worries of the world? Are there worries of the world? You better believe there is. People worry about the price of gasoline. Worry about their finances. Worry about their jobs. Worry about who's going to be the president. Be interesting to see. Well, people get caught up into that rather than pray to God. Pleasures overpower them. They'd rather go out and play and so forth their games than to get down on their hands and knees where the battle is being fought, or the deceitfulness of riches just drowns out the things of God. And so God wants His will to be done. In the Lord's Prayer, what did Jesus teach them to pray? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is His will being done tonight on this earth as it is in heaven? There's only one place that's being done, and that's in His kingdom, the church. You love the church? Glad to be a part of the church? You glad to be here tonight? Boy, I am. I'll tell you, that was such an invigorating song service. Boy, I just, did that lift you people up? Boy, it did me. It just lifted me up. There's just nothing like the Lord's church. Nothing like it. There's no greater institution on the face of this earth, and then men haven't got any more brains than to try to tear it up because they're not praying to God. They don't have a close relationship to the Lord. I'll never believe it. Jesus in the garden. He's fighting the forces of evil. He's fighting for your soul and mine. What did he pray 3 times? Lord, or Father, let this cup pass. And what did he say? Thy will be done. Is that the way it is in your life? Is his will going to be your will? Or is your will going to be your will? You're going to lose the battle depending on who you follow in this life. Don't you trust in yourself? Don't you do it. That's why men are defeated. That's why they can't overcome. Trouble comes.
And they look to themselves to try to get themselves out of the mess rather than dropping to their knees in prayer. Sometimes my emotions get so wild and so, I don't know how to say it. Well, full of anxiety is what God says. And I can't always stand it. I just go to God in prayer and solve the problem. There's not a person here tonight that doesn't have a problem with anxieties. Not a one of us. And if you're in the flesh, you're going to have trouble. And you and I need to learn to call out to the God of heaven. We want His will done. What is His will? Well, if you'll turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 35, Jesus was going about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. As they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. You know, even there was a passage there where Jesus healing the blind, the lame, and the sick, and He said, "Blessed is the man that keeps from stumbling over Me." Now you stop and think about that. He's healing the blind and the lame and the sick, raising the dead, and He says, "Blessed is the man that keeps from stumbling over Me." If people stumble over Jesus, and did they? Are they going to stumble today over the body of Christ? You better believe they are. They couldn't see the Lord. Couldn't understand who He was. They don't understand the church today. Anyway, He sees the multitudes. He felt compassion for them because they were distressed. It means they're stressed out, full of anxieties, trouble, problems. Many are the troubles of the righteous. But the Lord does what? Delivers us from them all. You got any trouble tonight? God will deliver you. You just pray to Him. Then give Him some time. You know, people want, poof, we're interested, you know, in the quick hamburger. You want it now? Felt compassion for them. They were distressed, downcast like sheep without a shepherd. Well, is that the way men are today? They are. They're lost. Then He said to His disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into His harvest." What did Jesus ask His disciples to pray about? We need workers. We got any men out there tonight that are willing to give themselves to God and His work? Have any of you prayed that God would raise godly men up? Do we need leadership? Listen, we're getting low on leadership. You know what that means for the Lord's church? It means death. If you don't have leadership, church is going to die. If you take a nation without leadership, it's going to die. Parents, they don't want their children preaching. You know why? No money in it. I just want to tell you something. I've looked around at godly men and it stayed in there, and they didn't starve to death. And I look at the health of some of them, and I just stand back and have to marvel. I don't know. Anybody out there want to preach? I hope we can raise some men up that'll be genuine and sincere and not this phoniness and this fakiness and this show-off stuff. I hate showmanship. Ooh, I despise it. I went to Bible college. I want to tell you, you want to get the pride taken out of you, you go sit under some chapel sermons. I thank God for men of God that'll take a stand and preach the Word of God, because it's sharp as a two-edged sword, piercing the very marrow of the bone, able to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And I want to tell you, your heart and my heart sometimes have some pretty rotten intentions. We need men of God that can see through that and see what men are like and preach the Word of God with power. And then we need men that are genuine enough that'll listen to the preaching and repent of it. Men are not perfect.
There's not one perfect preacher down here, not one. If you're looking for one, you're going to have to go to heaven. That's where you'll find him, but not here. He has given us this treasure in what kind of a vessel? An earthen vessel. Paul said we are regarded as what? Deceivers, yet true.
We need some men of God. Did you pray that God would bless the rally, family camp, and men would repent if they needed to repent? Change their mind. That's what this is all about. It's repentance. The world's filthy tonight. It's trying to get in the Lord's church. Don't think it isn't. Constantly bombarding the Lord's church. You know, Moses, Christ, Apostle Paul, were they godly men? You know what men wanted to do to them? Kill them. Put them to death. The very thing that brought them out of Egypt, they wanted to put to death. Don't you, you know, Saul or David would not raise his hand against the Lord's anointed. Don't you dare raise your hand, your mouth, against the Lord's anointed. You be mighty cautious on that. I've sat under leadership that was rotten to the core, and I did not try to destroy them. I just, like David said that God would take care of Saul. I forget I did say that. He'd either, you know, somebody remember how David said that? Two things he said there. Can't remember exactly how it was, but basically he just left it up to God to do it. That's what he did. Doesn't mean I haven't talked to leadership about their sin, because I have. But you tear up leadership, you tear up the church. People don't realize that. That's what you're tearing up. And we need leadership in the Lord's church. I mean, we need it badly. And so we need men that will get down on their hands and knees and pray, "Oh God, thy will be done." And help us to raise up some men and then back them and support them. Amen. And don't try and destroy them. Want his will to be done in holiness of living. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord's not going to hear it. I hate the dance. God hates the dance. Sensuality, alselgao, unchaste handling of males and females, illicit bodily movements. And then they want to portray Christ as he's dancing with a sensuous woman. It's nonsense. Coming into the Lord's church. And they make it sound like it's something that's wonderful. I abhor alcohol. I loathe the stuff. I know what it does to homes, to families, and it kills multiples upon multiples. And people are wanting to bring it into the Lord's church. God says, not only don't drink the stuff, don't you even look at it. When it sparkles in the glass and it goes down smoothly, it bites like a serpent, like a viper. It's deadly. You people all agree to that? Good, me too. I don't want it coming in the Lord's church. Destroy it. You want to drink, go to the non-instrumental in the Christian church. You can drink there. They'll let you drink alcohol. Well, they will. I've talked to some of them. I've studied with them. Or they're deceivers. Filth on the television, your CDs, your DVDs, your internet. If you regard iniquity in your heart, if you're watching that kind of trash tonight, God is not going to hear you. Do you understand that? I don't think that's too hard to understand, do you? And I want to tell you, the lake of fire is wide open for you, and the devil's got you. You put your DVDs and your CDs and your television and your internet
in the trash can if you can't control it. I don't have anything wrong with CDs. Got a CD player in my automobile. I even have a DVD player in there, but I couldn't even tell you how to use the thing tonight. Figured it out once, but you got to put it on a certain station there, you know, and we go to family care, or to youth camps, we don't allow kids to put their DVDs in there, so I'm afraid what might get slipped in there without me even knowing it. I mean, just, the devil's so clever, he just puts a little bit in there, you know. I got caught a few times on, I said, that's it for me on television, you know, I just, that's it. I'm not going to bring any, it's videos I'm talking about. This has been years ago, we didn't even have the DVDs, it's just videos, and bring a video home just for fun, you know. I got caught a couple of times, I said, that's it. I don't want anything like it in my home. I don't like to feel guilty, do you? I don't like to have to go to God and say, God, forgive me because I let that come into my home. And my wife and I both agree it's not going to be there. Because if you regard iniquity in your heart, God's not going to hear your prayer. And that is regarding iniquity. You are inviting it into your home. You better check your DVDs, etc., videos, whatever. You better check them inside and out and make sure there's nothing unclean and unpure on them. And I mean tainted. The dress. You ever seen that? What's that mermaid's name? That they have what? Ariel? Ariel. Oh. She's asleep. I mean, is she well-dressed or ill-clad? I wouldn't show that in my home for anything. You know what you're teaching your children? How to dress sexy. And some of the dolls they play with, just sexy dolls. You got anything like that in your home, you just take it out and throw it in the trash can. Just get rid of it. I got rid of records. That was a long time ago, you know. That was 36 years ago. If I can get rid of records, you can get rid of your DVDs, etc. It's not hard. They're in the book of Acts. They burned 50,000 pieces of silver in their books. You know, 50,000 pieces of silver back then was a couple of bucks. It is even today. You're looking at some money. They burned. Don't be ashamed to burn that stuff. And things, you know, this Christian church and flirting with Christian church and the non-instrumental, I keep pretty close tabs on that, just as close as I can. He said, what's wrong with that? We've got brethren out here that are flirting with them, inviting some of these Christian church people to come in and preach for them. And they do. I've got the information in my files back in my office in North Platte, Nebraska. And the Christian church, they may say they believe in baptism for forgiveness of sins, but they'll allow anybody to come in that has not been baptized. I know that for a fact. And I've studied with several of them there in North Platte, non-instrumental included, and both of them, you can smoke, you can drink, you can cuss, and you can watch film. I haven't studied with any of them yet. Well, now, so we have some that got converted now, mind you. But if they don't get converted, I mean, I've had them fiery mad at me. Just on holiness of living. You want to bring that into the fellowship? I don't want that in the fellowship. I want the fellowship kept pure and clean. I came out of a filthy, muddy, dirty, ungodly, rotten world, and I am not going back. And I pray the Lord's church can withstand the forces of evil because they are mighty tonight. The battleground is the church. Satan is going to surround the camp of the saints to try to destroy it. But fire is coming down out of heaven.
and he's going to destroy it. The enemy. Let's keep the church pure and clean. If you've got any pornography, and you go to church, and the preacher calls on you to pray, he may not know that you're watching it, but God's not going to hear you. You get rid of your porno. There very well could be men in here tonight that are listening or watching porno on their internet. I hope you're not. If you can't control it, then get rid of it. God's not going to hear you. And so we need tonight men and women that are genuine through and through. You get rid of all your sex books, all of your love affair books, and I don't know, is Harlequin romance still around? Huh? Well, get rid of them! You got them? I've heard of people even reading them in church! Can you believe that? Preachers preaching, and there they are reading Harlequin romance. Oh boy. What's false imaginings in your mind? That's what it does. Do we want His will to be done? Want a pure church? Yes, we do. We want our homes clean and pure. We want the church clean and pure. One more thing. Praying His will to be done. And that is we cast all of our anxieties on Him. For He cares for you. That's out of 1 Peter. And then also in Philippians, be anxious for how much?
Nothing.
How many of you folks here are never anxious? Never have any anxieties in your heart? Anybody here want to stand up? Any liars here? That's what Van said. Be anxious for nothing, not one thing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Not to the psychiatrist, not to the priest or the pope, but to whom? To God. You be mighty cautious who you manifest your anxieties to. I've seen where that goes. And you know where it winds up? It winds up in sex. Isn't that amazing? I can personally vouch for that. That's where it winds up a lot. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do you need your heart and your mind guarded tonight? Yes, you do. In Psalms, David, man of God, Psalms 34, what a beautiful psalm. Verse 15 says, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry, and the face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Oh, I like that. You know, the old Apostle Paul, he pled with the Lord 3 times for that thorn in his flesh. And what was the divine response? My grace is sufficient, for power is perfected in weakness. Then it goes on, most gladly, after he says power is perfected in weakness, most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses. This is Paul's thorn in the flesh. In this passage, he's well content with weaknesses. with insults, because therefore refers it back to what he's been saying, with insults. So were people insulting him? With distresses. Did Paul have distresses? Sure he did. With persecutions. With difficulties. For Christ's sake, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Those Jews dogged his trail all over the place. Tried to destroy him. That's why the thorn in the flesh could not be removed. Because of the hardness of the hearts of those men wanting to destroy the work of God. Do people get that hard-hearted? That's why you and I need to pray and make sure we're on the right side of righteousness and not on the wrong side. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 19, all this time you have been thinking that we are defending ourselves to you. Actually, it is in the sight of God that we have been speaking in Christ, and all for your upbuilding, beloved. For I am afraid that perhaps when I come, I may find you to be not what I wish, and may be found by you to be not what you wish. That perhaps there may be strife, jealousy, angry tempers, disputes, slanderers, gossip, arrogance, disturbances. I am afraid that when I come again, my God may humiliate me before you, and I may mourn over many of those who have sinned in the past, and not repented of the impurity, immorality, and sensuality which they have practiced. That was in the church at Corinth. If somebody slanders you, does that cause any anxiety? Somebody speaks evil against you, does that cause any anxiety in you? I have had that happen to me. And you know what happens to my little physical heart? Have you ever had yours do that? I've had to calm that thing down. I've had to get out of my hands and knees and say, God, I feel this bitterness and resentments and revenge. Strike back. Get even. Are we to get our own revenge? Or are we to leave room for the wrath of God? I want to tell you, when it's you they're talking about, your blood pressure is going to go poof. You ever had anybody speak evil against you or your children? What happens? I say it calmly. Doesn't bother me a bit. Is that the way it goes? No, it does not. You know what God wants you to do? Get down on your hands and knees and pray. You know what's in the heart of every man? There's bitterness lies there. There's envy and jealousy and strife and hate in every one of us here tonight. Now, Van preached that you can have just a little bit of that. Is that right, Van? It's all right to have a little, but not a lot. How much of that can you have in your heart according to Van's lesson? None! How are you going to get it out? You're going to have to get on your hands and knees and say, God, help me not to retain this bitterness and this hate in my heart, because you will destroy yourself. You may think you're going to destroy the other person, but no, you're going to destroy yourself. And so tonight, does God speak on our prayer? Yes, he does. Are you a man of prayer? Are you a woman of prayer? And if you need to make a change, make a decision tonight that you're going to serve God, live for him, and I really encourage you to do it tonight. Don't wait, because the devil is pretty clever to get you to try and wait and just say, well, I'll just put it off till some other time. As we stand and as we sing, page 52, I Need Thee Every Hour.